be helpful. So we went down on Thursday and had a good trip in spite of a lot of accidents on the road, some pretty bad ones. Stopped traffic for quite a while. But we, praise the Lord, made it safely. And we started orientation on Friday. And so Friday and into the afternoon on Saturday, we had orientation. So just talk a little bit about more about ABT and their vision, how they got started, what their goals are. Maybe another time I'll, you know, if you ask me, I'll be happy to share in depth. I've got a folder with all kinds of their policies and way of doing things and way they administrate things. You know, so if you have some time and you want to read through that, they'd be a good thing. I was actually going to bring it this morning, but we had a very rushed morning and I forgot to. So I was going to read some of their points and what they're looking for. Something that I kind of knew, but I wanted to make sure that All Nations wasn't just about Bible translation, but that their end goal was to have a church planted. And that is their goal. They also believe that it's hard to have a good church or a strong church if they can't, if they're not a Bible in their language, they're not able to read it. So that's a huge part. They facilitate that. But their end goal is definitely church planting. So I want to look at some, not necessarily statistics, but whatever you call this. I think of more statistics being percentages and stuff, but maybe this falls in the same group. All right, so I pulled this from the Joshua Project. This is as of September 2021. There are roughly 17,426 people groups in the world. Okay? Some of these speak the same languages as you notice here. But there's a lot of different people groups. So when the Bible talks about tribes, this is probably what it's talking about. There are roughly 6,000 reached, which means that there's evangelical churches planted there that are indigenous. They are running it themselves. They are a self-sufficient, self-propagating, self-funding, whatever, church. There's roughly 7,400 that are totally unreached. That means that there might be a few, one or two, three, whatever, half a dozen people who we know are Christians in that group, but there's no church. There's just a few random people. You know, maybe somebody immigrated to the United States from this unreached people group, heard the word of God, and was converted. That kind of deal. And anything in between these, it could be, you know, there's slightly more reach. Maybe there's missionaries who are already working with them. There's church plants in operation. Or it could be that maybe there's non-indigenous church plants among them. So anything in between. So as you can see here, there's a lot of work to be done just among unreached people groups. All right, going into languages spoken, there's roughly 7,378 languages spoken today. Many languages have become non-existent. Okay, nobody speaks them anymore. There's a few languages, like some of our Native American languages. There might be two, three people living that speak that language. And within the next however many years, those languages will be gone as well. All right. There's 1,582 languages that have only the New Testament translated in them. No Old Testament. So say goodbye to Proverbs, Psalms, you know, goodbye. Daniel in the lion's den, don't have it. David and Goliath, gone. Much more. All right, 1,196 languages have portions of Scripture. So not a New Testament, not any Old Testament, just, you know, maybe somebody translated out of the kindness of the heart, translated, you know, maybe the book of Mark into the language and thought, well, if they have one gospel, they'll be able to hear about Jesus and be converted. So there's portions of Scripture in roughly 1,200. Absolutely nothing is translated in 1,892 languages. Now, some of these languages, remember, are in the decline. And so missionaries aren't even trying to translate it because, like, for instance, let's say Pennsylvania Dutch was a dying language. Nobody is really learning it. It's just kind of in the family. But most people who speak Pennsylvania Dutch speak English equally well or better. So forget, you know, translating it into that. We'll just keep, the English version is great enough. There's many places where in order to survive, you have to be at least bilingual, if not trilingual. We Americans are really, really spoiled to have one language. And we travel the world just expecting everybody to know English. And we don't even try to learn anything. You know, you can go to Europe and speak English and you'll be fine almost everywhere you go. And that's true in many parts of the world. Okay. I put this up here just for interest's sake. Wycliffe Bible Translation finished their first translation in 1951. 50 years later, in the year 2000, they had their 500th translation. Now, there are other Bible translation ministries out there, but it's taken them 50 years to translate 500 languages. How many years does this represent? Let's do some rough math.
370.
That's a long, 380 roughly years. 370, whatever. I didn't do the math myself. I was just trusting y'all to do it for me. That's a long time. Okay? And, you know, there's groups that, you know, there's one, I forget, but it's a break off of Wycliffe. They were going to, they started, I think, in the 1980s. Their goal was to have a language, a Bible in every language by year 2025. 2025 is fast coming up, and they're going to have to change their motto soon, I'm afraid, because we're nowhere near that. And it's pretty serious. We have a lot of unreached language groups and a lot with absolutely nothing. And a couple quotes I really loved at the ABT, during our camp week. So we went from orientation Friday and Saturday to 3 days of camp week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, where some missionaries came from the field. So we had some missionaries from Colombia and in Mexico, where actually there's a large number of languages that don't have the scripture yet, that they came back and they shared some of their experiences. We had other missionaries come from different parts of the world and speak on different subjects, and it was really a blessing. But there's two quotes, there's actually more, but two quotes I especially really appreciated. One is, don't wait for burden to get to work. Some people say, I don't have a burden for the people in Nicaragua, so I'm off the hook. You know, God puts burdens on people he wants to send. I just have the calling just to support them. Actually, the Macedonian call only goes to people who are working. You know, Paul and Barnabas weren't sitting in their lazy boys at home, and all of a sudden, bam, you know, in a nap one day, God gives them this Macedonian call. They were already out working. Get to work and then get a burden. This is God's heart. And you'll see that many times in Scripture, people already are working, and God gives them a burden for specific people. All right. And the other thing that I felt like was especially important for me, because this is rooted in pride right here, right? It's not about my sacrifice, what I'm going to do for God. I'm sacrificing my family, my ease, my everything. It's not about that at all. It's about God's glory. We're not going to get to heaven and be on some pedestal, and you know, God's going to say, wow, look what Joshua did for all these people, and I'm going to stand like this. No, 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 no. It's about God on the throne being glorified, because every people, language, tongue, they're praising and worshiping God. So, just in case any of us are feeling pretty high and mighty, don't forget that the Lord said the greatest among you are going to be the lowest, right? Something like that. Okay. Now, there's a lot of reasons why people aren't going out. Some of it's hostility. Some of it is just people don't like creepy crawlies, you know, snakes, spiders. You know, that's just not my thing. Some of it, you know, it's just weird stuff. Like, I'm not going to go to a people group that drinks cow blood. That's disgusting. You know, whatever it may be, and maybe it's the climate. People are like, whew, Lord, don't call me to the Sahara. Like, you know, I want to go to, you know, the Bahamas. Is there an unreached people group down there? And so we do the easiest stuff first. A lot of these unreached people groups are in hard to reach places. Maybe it's remotely. You know, you got a 3-day trek in, you know, poisonous snakes in the trail and 6-inch long thorns, whatever it may be, to reach those people. Or it might be to reach these people, you're going to have to, you know, every 5 years, you got missionaries martyred, and people are like, well, let's see, my chances so far of dying over there are about 100%. So I think the Lord will call me to, I don't know, maybe minister to my neighbors. No danger there. So there's a lot of hardship there. One thing that we talked about is incarnational evangelism. Incarnational means coming in the flesh, right? So you become like the people you're with. There are some relatively easy things that we can do. You know, we can eat food. Maybe rats aren't something you like, but you can eat them. I mean, if they can eat them and they're not dying, chances are you probably can. And the whole idea that eating worms is nasty is only because your culture told you eating worms is disgusting. Some people's culture say certain worms are a delicacy. If you can get to them first, you're in light. You're doing excellent. So food, we can change. Friendships, it's hard to say goodbye to friends, but we can just as easily make new ones. That's pretty easy. Language, you might not think it's very easy for the first 5 years, but hey, we can do that. Interests, maybe your hobbies here in the States are going to be something totally different overseas, but we can adapt, we can change. You know, if they like to, whatever they like to do, you know, weave baskets, whatever. You know, we can learn how to do that. Clothing. Might feel strange to wear robes or whatever they wear down there. Now, obviously, we're not going to sacrifice modesty for this, but whatever's culturally appropriate, we can do that there. Schedule. Some people are really up really late. Some people have all kinds of, all the time of day what they do things. Some people eat two meals a day or one meal a day. Whatever it is, you can adapt to the way they do things. Some harder things, though, are thought patterns. You know, I can't think of any good examples right now, but here's a good example. In Ghana, where I was, a thought pattern is, if you have something that I don't have, I deserve it. I don't think that's so much here in the United States we have that. Maybe it's becoming more and more so. But it's like, wait a minute, it's mine. Like, I worked for it, I earned it, it's mine. And they're like, No, it should be mine. And the whole idea of borrowing, like, you know, if you have it and you're not using it, I should be using it. Like, why are you going to let it go unused? Anyway, some of those things. And there's all kinds of thought patterns. But this is hard to retrain your mind for. I don't even know if we all can and everything. Emotions. Understand why. Why are they emotional about certain things? And not just understanding the why, but also then later on feeling them with your people. Those are all things that are a little bit on the challenging side. One of the most important things for me, I think, at ABT was just renewing the vision. So we had been accepted as members in training back September or whatever it was, and honestly, the fire kind of died. We were excited about it, and it was amazing, it was good, and over time, you know, wife's busy, and you just kind of like, yeah, I guess we're part of ABT, but that's about it. So renewing the vision for this definitely was important. Also, clarity in moving forward. The whole idea of college and how many credits and this and that, I'm just like, phew, I don't know how to do this. But I was able to talk to some people, and I feel like that's a lot clearer. We're still planning to take it a little bit easy right now. We're hoping that maybe we can do a Faith Builders winter term this winter. But that's about it at this point. Also, just getting to know ABT staff was a super blessing. You know, so we watch these videos where are these live Zoom meetings. You know, there's these faces on the wall, and that's about all they are, faces on the wall. But actually getting to talk and meet them was really a blessing. And lastly, among many things, a big thing for me was just a whole new look in Latin America. I had before looked at Latin America as kind of an over-evangelized area where Mennonites galore love to send their people to. And, you know, you hear all about these churches in Costa Rica, Nicaragua, and wherever else. And it's just like, Lord, send me somewhere else. And yet, we had a missionary share about how you should look at Latin America very differently. We kind of think of them as all Spanish, you know, and all want to come to the United States, wherever else, you know, our culture is telling us at this point. But we have to remember that they had all kinds of tribes scattered throughout the whole of the land, and the Portuguese and the Spanish came and basically made it into slaves. And so we have all these people groups that we need to see as people groups, not Mexicans, right? Because there's all kinds of different people groups there, and many of them have been held underfoot for so long that they're very weary of any strangers coming in. But anyway, just opening my eyes to seeing them as not just a people group that are trying to come to the United States and live off of us, but rather here's just a wide variety of people that need to also hear the Lord. And just for interest's sake, I wrote the Hebrew alphabet up there in case any of you are wondering what it looks like. I'm not sure how many of you have seen it. This is about where we're at. We're studying the vowels next. These are all consonants. And they say learning the Hebrew alphabet is the hardest thing to do. After you do that, then it becomes a lot easier. I hope that's true, because it's taken us like 7 weeks to just get this far, and it seems like you should be able to get faster than that. But anyway, Lord bless you. Do you have any questions? All right.